Please, and let's open together to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5.
You on there, Mick? Got turned off. Take your Bibles with me and open to Revelation chapter 5, if you would, please. And as we open there, how many of you have troubles in life? Oh, a few. Well, John, the apostle who wrote Revelation, also had troubles in his life. And part of the Lord's response to his troubles was to set his mind on heaven. In chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation, the apostle John and we with him are being given a glimpse of heaven, and really it's a glimpse of God. And it is to set our minds on things above and to get our minds off of things of this earth. And yet there is also very practical application in all of it. Of course, the central truth of Revelation 5, we've talked about it this morning, we've sung it. It is the title of this morning's message, Worthy is the Lamb Who Was Slain. Follow along, if you would, please, as I read Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. This is a glimpse of heaven, and it is a glimpse of our great God. John the Apostle was on the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God. He was sent there as a persecution for preaching Christ. When the risen Christ appeared to him and told him to write the things that he saw, Revelation chapter 1, the things which are now in the church age, Revelation chapters 2 and 3, and the things which must take place after these things, Revelation chapters 4 all the way through 22. We are in the third and final section of Revelation. And we are seeing and hearing things which must take place after the church age. And chapters 4 and 5 are a glimpse of our great God in heaven. The Spirit of God is showing John and showing us what is taking place and what must take place in heaven. When John first saw heaven back in Revelation chapter 4, he first saw a throne and him who sat on it. Our great God, who is sovereign over everything taking place on the earth today. He's also sovereign over everything that is happening in your life. The Spirit of God showed us, and John wrote it down, this glimpse of God to show us that our God is beautiful. He's like precious gems in appearance. Our great God is faithful. There's a rainbow around His throne to remind of the covenant with Noah. And there are 24 other thrones with 24 elders on them to remind us of Christ's promises to those who are faithful. Flashes of lightning and peals of thunder come out from the throne. Seven lamps of fire burn before it to remind us that God is powerful both to judge and to save. Four living creatures surround the throne, full of eyes around and within, to remind us that our God is invincible and His throne is unassailable. They sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come," to remind us that our God is eternal. And whenever they give glory to God, the 24 elders join in saying, "You are worthy, O Lord." The central truth of Revelation 4 is that our God in heaven is worthy. The central truth of Revelation 5 is, so is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb, verse 12 says. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. This is the central theme, the central truth, the central claim in all of heaven. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. To be worthy means to be well deserving of something because of supreme character and or supreme deeds. Worthy, well deserving on account of His supreme character, well deserving on account of His superior deeds. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. The Lamb is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He alone was slain on the cross to pay the price for our sins once for all. And He is well deserving. That's the truth of Revelation 5. But it is more specific than that. And there are really three truths I want you to see that are connected with that central truth. They come out of it. And they are these. Number one, there is something that this Lamb alone is worthy to do. And that is in verses 1 to 10. There is something that this Lamb alone is worthy to do. It's in verses 1 to 10. To state it another way, and I want you to think of it this way, the Lamb is worthy to take something, and He will take it. You'll see that in verses 1 through 10. Second, there is something He is worthy to receive, and He will receive it. That's in verses 11 through 14. And finally, in response, there is something that you should do, lest you regret it. And that is the application of the chapter. So these three truths. The first one, the Lamb, there's something He is worthy to take, worthy to do. He will do it. He will take it. What is it? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to take and open the scroll. That gets repeated again and again in verses 1 through 10. Notice verse 1. I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back and sealed with seven seals. The scroll, picture it setting upon, literally setting upon, the right hand of God. The imagery here is that God the Father has the future of our world in His hands, but it's in the form of a scroll that's written on both sides, rolled up and sealed with seven seals. What is this scroll? This scroll is God's final will for this world. God's final will for this world. The fact that it's written on inside and on the back signifies that it is final and it is complete. There's nothing to be added and there's nothing to be taken away. This is His full and final will for your future and mine. In fact, as we'll see, it ends with a very sharp warning. If anyone adds anything to it, God will add to that person the plagues recorded in this book. And if anyone takes anything from it, God will take away that person's part from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things that are written on this scroll. This scroll is God's final will for the world. It is what we have in the rest of the book of Revelation. It is written down. It is unchangeable. It includes God's will to pour out his righteous wrath upon this earth, to establish Christ's millennial kingdom, to render final judgment at the great white throne, and to create a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness will dwell. But there's a question that God himself asks by means of his mighty angel, verse 2. Then I saw a strong angel, a mighty angel, a messenger of God, proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" But the scroll is sitting on the right hand of God. We're going to see it's not only who is worthy to open it, who is worthy to come and take it out of the hand of God, loose its seven seals, and set into motion all that God has planned for the rest of the world. Who is worthy to do this? Who is worthy to initiate the outpouring of divine wrath on the earth? Who is worthy to establish the millennial kingdom? Who is worthy to bring in the eternal state? Why ask the question? Why did God have his mighty angel ask the question? To make this point clear, that only one in all the universe is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to take and to open this scroll. But notice verse 3, initially, no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. Nobody dared make a sound. It's like the silence in heaven. Nobody stood up and said, I can do it, because no one was worthy. And in verse 4, John says, so I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and to read the scroll or to look at it. There's an obvious question here, right? Why cry? Why weep? Why did the Apostle John begin weeping much? And you can picture him. He's broken over this. Why? Some say it's because it's so sad that we all are so sinful that no one among us is worthy to go and take the scroll from the hand of God and to open it. I don't think that's why he wept. That may be part of it, but that's not why. Instead, think of it this way. Imagine if the things that are taking place in the world right now, and if all the troubles that are taking place in your world right now would never end. Imagine if there was to be no final judgment of God. Imagine if there was just to continue to be forever evil and wickedness and violence and injustice, sickness and pain and death. Imagine if there would be no end to the curse that is on this earth. That would be sad indeed. We would have no hope for a bright future. This is why John wept. He understood that the Father sitting on the throne with a seven-sealed scroll written on in the front and back in his hand, laying there on his hand, and the question asked who is worthy to come and open it, he understood this is the final written will of God. And if this is not carried out, things will just continue on as they are. That indeed would be sad. But, verse 5, one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Stop weeping. Do not think that things will continue as they are. Do not think that nothing is going to change. Do not think that there will be, as we would say in our day, do not think that there will be no end to the evening news as we know it." We can't stand the evening news. It's nothing but death and killing and murder and corruption and lies and deception. Don't think that way. Stop weeping. Behold, look at this. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, a reference to Genesis 49. The Root of David, a reference to Isaiah 11. Has prevailed, a reference to the cross, to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. In all the universe, there is only one worthy to take the scroll, open its seals, and initiate all that God has planned for the rest of this world. It is the one who has prophesied throughout the Old Testament. That's why there's a reference to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the strongest to ever come out of Israel. And a reference to the Root of David, the one who is the rightful heir of the throne. It is the one prophesied throughout the Old Testament. One of these prophecies is from Genesis 49, the other from Isaiah 11, to say all the prophecies in between refer to the Lamb who was slain. And it is the one, notice, who has prevailed. That's the word for overcoming, right? Christ kept making promises to overcomers. He himself overcame. Overcame what? Sin. The devil. Temptations. Trials. Tribulations. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. Here is the overcomer. Behold, he has prevailed. He's overcome. And what's the next word? To. In order to. In other words, here is a purpose of Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. He prevailed, he overcame in order to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. Interesting thought. One of the purposes of Jesus Christ going to the cross and rising up again from the dead was in order that he would come to the Father one day, take the scroll out of his hands, open it up, loose the seven seals, and bring about the end of this world as we know it and the start of the new one. And I looked, verse 6, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Verse 7, then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. What John saw reveals seven things about this lamb. Number one, Jesus Christ is the central figure in all of heaven. Jesus Christ is the central figure in all of heaven, just as central as the Father. He is in the midst of the throne. He is in the midst of the four living creatures. He is in the midst of all the elders. Jesus Christ is the central figure of heaven. The second thing this vision reveals, Jesus Christ is the Lamb who was slain. He is the once-for-all sacrifice for our sins. There is no other sacrifice. There is no other way to be forgiven. There is no other way to get to heaven. Do not believe the lie of the devil that there are many ways to God. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. He is the only sacrifice for sins. If you reject Jesus Christ, you reject the only means for you to ever be saved. Third, Jesus Christ is standing. I looked and behold, verse 6, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He stands. He is risen. He is alive. He is the only hope for life after death. Fourth, Christ is the all-powerful King. I saw Lamb, he stood as a lamb who had been slain, having seven horns. Horns in Old Testament imagery represent power. Seven horns represent perfect power, complete power. And horns are what are found on a king in apocalyptic literature. Jesus Christ is the all-powerful King. He will reign, and he will reign forever. Fifth, Christ is the all-seeing Savior. Notice, he had seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Seven eyes, again, the number of perfection, that means he is all-seeing. He understands everything that's going on. He sees everything taking place in your life. And his eyes are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth, representing the Spirit of God who is sent to save. Sixth, Jesus Christ alone is worthy to take the scroll. Notice, he came, verse 7, he took the scroll out of his right hand, the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And seventh, Christ alone holds the future of the world in his hands. All of this will feed into the second half of the sermon, so think about it. Think about it. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, central figure of all of heaven, the only sacrifice for sins, risen up from the dead, the only all-powerful King, the only all-seeing Savior, worthy to take the scroll, holding the future of the world in his hand. Why is he alone worthy in all the universe? Verses 8 through 10. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, an instrument of joy, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. The prayers are finally being answered. And they sang a new song. And here's the song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, and here's why. For you were slain, a reference to the cross work of Christ, and here is what it accomplished. By the way, did you know that the cross work of Christ actually accomplished something? Many people believe today that the cross work of Christ simply made redemption possible. Not true. That is not true. Jesus did not merely die for sins to make salvation a possibility, and now the rest is up to you. If that were the case, we'd all be doomed. No. You were slain, and you have redeemed us to God. How? By your blood. You have redeemed us to God by the blood you shed on the cross. That is called redemption. That is referred to as the limited aspect of atonement. Jesus Christ died for God's elect, and he accomplished that redemption by shedding his blood on the cross. And the redeemed sing this new song, and the new song sings of this. You were slain, and you have redeemed us. You've bought us out of the slave market of sin. You paid the price. You redeemed us to God, to new eternal life. And you did it by your blood, and you've redeemed us out of. It does not say he redeemed every tribe and tongue and people and nation. No, you redeemed us out of, as a subset. You have redeemed us out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we will reign upon the earth. The reason that Jesus Christ the Lamb is the only one in all the universe worthy to take the scroll from the hand of God and open it and unloose its seals and initiate God's wrath upon the earth is because of what he did on the cross. It's because of the finished cross work of Christ to redeem a people to God. And he did it. And we will sing that song in heaven. We will all be in agreement. There will be no one objecting or opposing. We will sing this song. And it shows that Jesus Christ alone is worthy to take the scroll. And he will take it. Listen. You might read this and say, oh, well, he's already taken the scroll out of the hand of the Father. No. John is being given a vision of something that must take place. And he's seeing it as though it has already happened. Christ has not yet taken the scroll. In Psalm 2, the Father says to the Son, just say the word. But the Son hasn't said the word yet. He hasn't done this yet. He's waiting. Do you know what he's waiting for? Do you know why he's delaying? How are we to count the long-suffering of the Lord? Count the long-suffering of the Lord as salvation. Good for you who said that. He is still saving more people. He hasn't done it yet. He's not yet initiated the outpouring of God's wrath upon the earth because he's still saving souls. He's still redeeming people to God by his blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Has he already made us kings and priests to our God? No, it's going to happen. But one day we will reign upon the earth. The first truth here is that the Lamb is worthy to take something, and he will take it. He is worthy to take the scroll from God and initiate all that God has planned for the future of this world. And he will do it. The second truth is there's something that he's worthy to receive, and he will receive it. Verses 11 to 14, what is that? Verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. How many is that? Innumerable. I hope that's what you said. That's the whole point. There was this massive choir, if you will, of angels that just can't be counted. He's striving to try and explain the number. There were 10,000 times 10,000 plus thousands of thousands. Everywhere. And they're saying with a loud voice, verse 12, worthy, well deserving on account of his supreme character and his supreme deeds. Worthy is this Lamb who was slain to receive something. And he will receive it. But to receive what? Seven things: power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So, well, that's an awful lot to receive. Yes? And he's worthy of all of it. You say, how much of that is he worthy to receive? All of it. From whom is the big question? And some people say, well, he's worthy to receive all that from God the Father. Yes? Some say, well, he's worthy to receive that from all the angels. And that they're the ones singing it. Yes? Look at verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven, and, implied, and every creature which is on the earth, and, implied, and every creature which is under the earth. The Bible divides the universe into three compartments. Those three compartments are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And John is saying, if you look at all three compartments which make up the entire universe, he's saying, I saw every single creature in every single compartment which it makes up the entire universe, and plus those which are in the sea and all that are in every single one of them. Just adding one more to make sure everything's covered. Don't think that any part of the universe is left out. I heard them saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. This is called universal worship. You say, oh, well, that means everybody's going to be saved. No, it doesn't. It does mean everyone will worship. Everyone will give honor to the Father, and everyone will give honor to the Son. Some in that day will do it unwillingly. And as we keep reading Revelation, they will be cast into outer darkness because they would not honor the Son in this life. Others who honor the Son in this life will rejoice that all the universe is worshiping both the Father and the Son. Verse 14, then the four living creatures said, Amen, may it be. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. There's something that the Lamb of God is worthy to do, and he will do it. He's worthy to take the scroll from the hand of the Father and initiate all that God has planned for the rest of this world. There will come a day when he will do it. This is something that must take place after this church age. But there is something that the Lamb is worthy to receive, and he will receive it, and it's found in verse 12. And he will receive it from every living being in the universe. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive from everyone and everything in all the universe power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Brother Brian and I were talking together this week, and we spent a half an hour on verse 12b, I guess we'll call it, and the words to receive. And we just talked about this concept of the Lamb receiving something from someone. And on the one hand, the Lamb doesn't need to receive anything from anyone. He is God in the flesh. He is the God of heaven. But he is worthy to receive all these things from everyone. And so we talked about, what does it mean for him to receive these things from us? So I asked Brian to pick one word in this list, in verse 12, that is something he would say we should give to the Son. And he picked the word honor. Verse 12, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And I asked, what is a way that we would show honor to the Lamb? And I think Brian said, well, evangelism. We could really pick anything that Christ has commanded us to do, and that's a way to show honor, right? Evangelism, discipleship, praying, worshiping, giving, going, serving, all of that. Pick any one of those, Any one of them. Pick evangelism. To do that, does it require power? Certainly. Riches? Sometimes. Wisdom? Strength? Yes. Does it result in glory and blessing? Yes. Pick any one of them. This leads to the third truth, and it's by way of application. There is something you should do in response, lest you regret it. And what you should do is honor the Son. I'm going to turn just for a moment to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Because John chapter 5 talks about exactly what we're seeing in Revelation chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus is with his disciples. This is before the crucifixion. He is ministering with them. Of course, he's speaking things to crowds, but at the same time, he's teaching his disciples. Here he speaks these things in the midst of persecution. The Jews were wanting to kill him, and to them he says, in verse 22, John 5, 22 and 23, "For the Father judges no one, but he has committed all judgment to the Son." Why? "So that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Listen, here's what Revelation 5 is teaching, among many other things. Revelation 5 is teaching that there is something that the Lamb of God is worthy to take, and he will take it. And that is, namely, the scroll from the hand of God, which will unleash the judgment of God upon the earth. All judgment has been committed to the Son. And there is something that the Son of God, the Lamb of God who was slain, is worthy to receive, and he will receive it. Namely, verse 12, power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And he will receive it from everyone in the universe. But the application is, there's something that you should give in response, something you should do in response, lest you regret it. You should honor the Son. How? By taking your power and your riches and your wisdom and your strength and your honor and your glory and your blessing and surrendering it all up to Jesus Christ. He said, well, that's an awful lot. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If anyone desires to save his life, hang on to something, he will lose it. But whoever gives up his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. What does a man gain if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus Christ is worthy that you should present yourselves to God as a living sacrifice, all the members of your body, and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Here's what I have. All I have has come from you anyways. Use this. Here are my lips. Here's my mind. Here's my eyes. Here's my ears. Here are my hands and my feet. Lord, use me to glorify you. That's what you should do in response to these things. I want you to look at one more passage of Scripture. I want you to turn back to Psalm 2. This also connects directly to Revelation chapter 5. In Psalm 2, we have a vision of people who are rebelling against the God of heaven and against his Christ. The writer of Psalm 2 wonders why. Why would anyone do this? It's so foolish. We looked at it last time. We mentioned it. People are rebelling on earth against God and against his Christ. They're thinking they can get rid of God's word. They say in verse 3, let's break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Psalm 2, 4 says, he who sits in the heavens laughs, and he will hold them in derision. And now the Son speaks. The Father speaks first. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. And now the Son speaks. Verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Stop there. This is the Son speaking to the Father, telling us what the Father says to him, And he says, the Father says to me, just ask, and I will give you the nations for an inheritance. I will give them to you to judge. And verse 9 says, you'll break them with a rod of iron and dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. This is a picture of the Father giving all judgment to the Son and telling the Son, you're going to judge the nations. When David sees that vision way into the future, all the way to Revelation 5, he applies it to those around him. Verse 10, now therefore be wise. Wise up, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Submit to Him. Honor Him. Kiss the Son. Surrender to Him. Lest He become angry and you perish in the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. And then this good news. Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him. The question for Revelation 5 is, where are you at with Jesus Christ? Where are you at with Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered your life to the Son of God? Do you give Him glory? Do you give Him praise? Have you surrendered your body to Him and said, Lord, take me. I tell you, He is worthy. If you have not, let today be the day that you would turn from your sins and put your trust in Jesus Christ. The good news, blessed are all who trust in Him. If you put your trust in Jesus Christ, He will deliver you from your sins. You will sing with the redeemed in heaven and be with Him forever. Let today be the day that you be saved. If you have already surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, then I tell you, He is worthy. He is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Yesterday we had this conference that some of the brothers mentioned, Pastor Rick mentioned it and others. We had this conference, and it was encouraging but also very convicting. One of the things that Alexander Strauch talked about was all these other ideas of things that we all could be doing. You ever heard one of those lists? And you always think of all these other things that you could be doing. But let me tell you, all the book of Revelation is geared towards one thing. And that is that you would be faithful. So if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, let me encourage you. Be faithful until the end. You all raised your hand, you're suffering troubles. Be faithful to Jesus Christ to the end, because He is worthy. And if you will, He will give you the crown of life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this vision of Christ. We thank You for this vision of the Lamb who was slain in heaven. We believe what You're telling us here by Your Spirit, that He is worthy to take the scroll, to unroll it, to bring about all Your will upon this world. We believe that He's worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and glory and honor and blessing. We pray, Father, help us to be faithful to Your Son to the very end. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.